For the FBI, threats to the United States come in many forms. One of them is biological. The Bureau has been investigating ways to combine big data analytics and life sciences to help protect against bio threats. Last week, the FBI joined in a meeting of people from all of these disciplines. Joining us with more is Ed Yu, Supervisory Special Agent in the Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate at the FBI. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. So biohazards, big data, life sciences, how do they come together and how do they help national security when they do combine?
Sure. So we were looking at our mission space, which is one of prevention and protection. And part of that mission is looking at some of the potential over-the-horizon issues and risks that might impact the life sciences. So in that vein, the FBI partnered with the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the publishers of Science Magazine, where we hosted this conference last week on big data, life sciences, and national security. And at this meeting, we were able to convene a group of some real experts in the field and try to look, open the aperture a little bit wider on looking at potential national security issues when it comes to looking at big data and analytics as they are applied to the life sciences. So we recognize that there are some really incredible benefits coming from these areas, to include things like disease surveillance and improving personalized medicine. But we wanted to really take a step back and see that along with these really amazing advances, to see if we can identify any potential risks that or vulnerabilities that might be exploited.
Yeah, give us some examples of what you say are the over-the-horizon issues. I guess that's the stuff that we don't know that we don't know. Is that right?
Right, and if anything, that's one of the takeaways from our meeting is that the unknowns are probably going to be somewhat vast. So one of the things that we have recognized and are already in discussions are about looking at privacy and things of that matter when it comes to big data. But we really wanted to, again, as I said, expand the discussion and look at, for example, one element of big data and expanding data is looking at personal genomics, so looking at individual DNA sequences or DNA sequences coming from different organisms that we're examining in the world now globally and how they're all basically being inputted into different databases and in the cloud. And with that in mind, looking at things like, well, if that's the case, then what does potentially identity theft look like in that new model? So, again, trying to take the long view and see the next few steps down the road, and as we have these different advances, ensuring that how do we protect the beneficial application of these different really powerful solutions, but then identify some of the possible risks and then most importantly come up with ways that we can maybe mitigate them as well.
So give us an example of, say, some of the sources of big data that you would use to build into a solution to look ahead to see what a hazard might be connected with that data.
Sure. So one thing we learned very quickly is that big data in and of itself is a challenge in just defining. It could be very different sets of data that comprise it. So that was one thing. But I had already mentioned personal genomics and better understanding of DNA sequences. For one thing, one beneficial application might actually be how we can apply those and leverage our abilities in doing forensic analysis. That will be an incredibly useful tool for the FBI, as well as law enforcement in general. So that was one beneficial application that we thought would be ready for us to use in the near future. But again, it's just looking at one of the challenges of big data we also identified was just looking at the quality of data, too. So that there could be a potential tension between the accuracy of the data and then how that might be applied to things like forensics or therapeutics in the future. So, again, looking at doing an assessment of the entire process and the different applications.
But is genomics as a data set for individuals or things available?
Yes, they are. I can tell you right now that that's going to become more and more commonplace as we move forward. There are already different programs where there are members of the public who are volunteering to get their entire genome sequenced, and they're posting it on the Internet. There are already publicly available databases. Some are hosted by the National Institutes of Health that have a vast array of different DNA sequences that are utilized by scientists every day internationally, and those are all publicly available. So again, incredibly useful tools and important information to drive research and innovation. And this is going to become, as I said, as not only the growing bodies of data, but are the tools to actually acquire and then analyze this data is rapidly developing as well.
To what extent has the FBI used these skills in the life sciences so far? For example, have you been able to use any of these applications to catch criminals or to prevent acts of crime?
Not as yet, and that's one of the reasons why we convened this meeting, because we wanted to see what potential applications there would be. So we are looking at, again, not only the over-the-horizon possibilities, but how they could be direct applications to our mission. So it really was an interesting event. It was I can confidently say it was the first of its kind in looking at the direct linkage between big data and the life sciences. And if anything, we came away probably with more questions, but the conference itself was just the first step. We also have assembled several different working groups, and their charge now is to take the information and the questions that were posed from our conference, and we're now going to spend the coming summer months, and they will be looking at some of the potential drivers for the big data enterprise and the development of these analytical tools. Identify benefits and the potential risks that might be exploited, and then finally possible solutions to mitigate these risks that are identified. And those should be coming out later this summer, so stay tuned. It should be interesting findings.
We're speaking with Ed Yu. He is Supervisory Special Agent in the FBI's Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate. And before this meeting, what does the FBI generally consider to be the threats in the biosphere? Like microbes being put into the water supply, that kind of thing? What is it you're worried about now?
So, again, our primary mission set, especially as I'm part of the Biological Countermeasures Unit, is safeguarding the entire life science research enterprise. So one of the things that we're actually worried about is basically the exploitation and misuse of the products and applications and technologies that are developed in the life sciences. So we're almost agnostic to the threats itself, but looking at the points of vulnerabilities. So what we've been doing has been have been embarking on a very robust outreach program and engaging and developing partnerships with the life sciences community itself. Our partnership with the American Association for the Advancement of Science is one example. We've been working with them for several years now, and directly engaging universities, and have even collaborated with the Association of American Universities and the Association of Public and Land Grant Universities, which combined represent nearly all the research institutions in the U.S. and some internationally, and it has been a very powerful partnership.
And if we think about cybersecurity, I mean, it seems like there are more and more cyber breaches all the time. How well equipped are these entities that hold these systems and the knowledge and the databases? How well equipped are they to defend their assets against any sort of threat?
Right. So I think one of the takeaways that we were able to get from the conference is that we don't know. It's probably going to be very diverse as far as how well different systems are going to be protected. And again, remember that one of the successful drivers of the applications of life science is the fact that most of this is already open source and open data. That's one of the benefits of it. So one of the challenges that we're going to have moving forward, not only as a result of this conference, but just in general, is really doing a holistic assessment on where we can make sure that we can reap the benefits and advantages and identify these risks, because we are really operating in a different paradigm now, where it's going to be looking at security and openness in a different light, and how the two, rather than be run counter to one another, actually work in collaboration. So again, this is one of the reasons why we wanted to host this event, and looking at how we there may have to come up some new approaches in addressing security in a world where we're working with open access and open data in the big data framework.
Is it too far-fetched to think that someone could, say, even a nation state, could get a hold of large data sets like this genomics and then devise ways, knowing what they know about genomics, to devising new and elaborate ways to do mass destruction based on what they discover across the – is that the kind of thing that's not too far-fetched to worry about?
So that is a theoretical possibility, but then again, as I said, we're somewhat agnostic to the threats, meaning that we have to look at it from all different angles. So one thing we came away with, too, is that the fact identifying that data in of itself is going to become a commodity, a valuable resource. And if that's the case, then it's making sure how do we maintain our competitive advantage, because this is the very same data that's going to drive our innovation and development of new drugs, new therapeutics. So in this vein, what does potentially corporate espionage look like? What does intellectual property theft look like in this vein?
Yeah, this all crosses over into cybersecurity then also, and also into intellectual property protection.
Correct. And again, the difference being is that we're broadening the perspective and looking at the actual direct applications to the life sciences. So most of the threat assessments tend to trend directly to the scenario that you described, which is, again, a possibility, but one of low probability. The one more the greater probability and higher likelihood is the potential for criminal enterprise. And one of the missions is that, again, expanding on the current discussions on cybersecurity, but to make sure that we capture their perspective on the potential impact to the life sciences and how that impacts public health, animal health, and agriculture, because our economy is very much heavily reliant upon those three areas as well.
And do you find that other law enforcement that you work with regularly, either at the federal level or at the local and state levels, are they also attuned to these risks because they are emerging risks?
Yes, they are. And but I am proud to say that the FBI is trying to take the advanced step in hosting an event like this to, if anything, put a marker out there to say that in this particular context, this is something that we need to be on the lookout for. As I said, we might have to rethink again in the age of openness and personal genomics, things like identity protection and identity theft. What does it look like in that vein? And right now, we may not be looking at it as deeply and as thoroughly as we should. But this is an opportunity for us to start the discussions, and that was one of the main goals of our event last week.
Ed Yu is Supervisory Special Agent in the Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate at the FBI. And Ed, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you again. Appreciate it.